and gentlemen. This is your revisionist reporter, Carolyn Yeager, on Wednesday, July 20th. Well, I'm at my home away from home for the rest of this week, and I may sound a little different. I just found out from Dan that, my failure to pay attention to technical issues, he didn't put it that way. He just told me what I could have done to use my mic and speakers here, my mic and headphone here, but I didn't do, and so I didn't bring them, so I'm here without them, and we'll have to make do. He's pretty competent, so I'm sure he's doing whatever is necessary. I don't have a guest today, and I will be taking calls at 1-800-313-9443. You may call in about Auschwitz from my previous two programs or about today's topic. You know, Michael called in yesterday, and I first didn't understand what he was asking. Then I did not have an answer for him. But after the show, I did think that I remembered reading about inmates who had stayed and lived in the very barracks they had been in as detainees, but I couldn't find anything on the Internet about it. If any of the listeners know or discover something about that, please call this program and let us know. Notice I just used the word detainee. This is what the Allies called those they put into the very camps the Germans had been using. A man I know, an Austrian, who served in the German Luftwaffe, a few days after he returned home after being detained from spring to fall in a camp way up north, was interrogated by the British and sent to a detainees camp where he found his father and thousands of others. He spent almost 2 years in that and another camp with no formal charges against him, also doing free labor for Her Majesty the Queen, as he put it, and everyone there were called detainees, not prisoners, which in effect they were. This use of words to give the impression desired is applicable to my topic for today, which is eugenics. We tend to use the words that are given to us. We also use the words everyone around us are using or is using. Some words have an approving aura about them, like freedom and rights. Other words, which are perfectly neutral words, have a disapproving aura, like the word eugenics. Now, an online dictionary defines eugenics as a noun and the study of or belief in the possibility of improving the qualities of the human species or a human population, especially by such means as, 1, discouraging reproduction by persons having genetic defects or presumed to have inheritable undesirable traits, that's called negative eugenics, or encouraging reproduction by persons presumed to have inheritable desirable traits, that's called positive eugenics. Most eugenicists that I'm going to refer to consider themselves positive eugenicists, although there is a place for what is called negative eugenics or discouraging reproductions by certain persons. We're going to be going to our break in just a moment, but you might ask me why I'm even talking about this. Eugenics is seen as negative across the board by many RBN hosts and listeners. And if you bring up the word, because we've all been propagandized about the evil intentions of global elites and or Nazis who survived World War II to use eugenics to get rid of those they don't like or want, in other words, to commit genocide on certain populations and generally control those who get to be born and those who don't. This is why I'm talking about it, because there is a misunderstanding, and it's purposeful to have at one point in the history of our recent history, when eugenics was looked upon as a very hopeful thing for the future. Now it has been since World War II, really, it has been taken in the other direction, as seen as something very, very bad. And as soon as we, people point to those who are interested or who they think are interested in eugenics as a part of these evil doers. So we really need to take a look at this, like I like to take a look at everything, and see what's really going on with it. I think we missed our break, but I'll just keep going. If this sounds a bit like comic book, good versus evil, you know, when we talk about eugenics, well, you know, there is an element of that. We hear a lot about dumbing down, and we may be surprised to realize that where some of this dumbing down is coming from and who's responsible for it. It may not be, you know, we may be the ones who are being dumbed down, and we're thinking that we're somehow immune to it because we can talk about it. Well, okay, I've been told we're having a few audio issues, and so we don't have to take our break right now. We just keep right on going. Now, I'm gonna refer to a woman by the name of Marion Van Court, whose work I looked at in the past, and she has written some articles about eugenics, and she has a website, which I don't have written down right in front of me. I should, but I don't, and I'll give it to you later. But she has a good website about it, and she mentions in one article, The Case for Eugenics in a Nutshell, that the organic betterment of the race through wise application of the laws of heredity is how the Encyclopedia Britannica defines it, and that eugenics is concerned with the current direction of human evolution. Well, we know all that. All right. I'm going to point out five arguments that she says are the arguments in a nutshell. I keep losing my place on this computer. She says this paper, the focus of this paper will be these five things. Number one, human intelligence is largely hereditary. And number two, civilization depends totally upon innate intelligence. Without innate intelligence, civilization would never have been created. When intelligence declines, so does civilization. Now, think about this for a moment. Civilization depends totally upon innate intelligence. We know where civilization has sprung from certain areas and not from others in the world, and from certain peoples and not from others. Now, they get around this by saying that civilization has somehow now thought of as bringing all the evils of the world. And those who are not civilized are simple. They don't harm anybody that much. And, you know, they've been victims of the civilized people. And so civilization is kind of given a bad name. But Marion goes on to say that number three is the higher the level of civilization, the better off the population. Now, this is true. Although today, because we're under such strange controls and such strange goings on, we might wonder if we in the civilized world are better off at all. And this is also possibly on purpose, or it could just be a result of what's happening. Now, number four, at the present time, we are evolving to become less intelligent with each new generation. Do you think that this is true? Most people think this is not true, but, you know, I was listening to a scholar talking about giving a talk a couple weeks ago, and his specialty was, he's a Greek and Latin scholar, and he said that, of course, that he doesn't know this was his opinion, but he sees the Greeks in classical Greece, where we consider maybe the birth of our Western civilization, as having IQs, you know, in the 200 range. And so if that, you know, because of the subtlety and beauty of their intellects, now this could very well be the case, that we have been going downward since some of these times in the past, not upward. Now, number five, she says, unless we halt or reverse this trend, our civilization will invariably decline. So this is seen as an important problem for many people, and that's why I think we need to understand it. Now, I've got a caller, and it is Tom from Brooklyn. Hello, Tom.
Good morning, dear. How are you today?
I'm fine. You are the one who called yesterday.
Uh-huh. I gave you the Edward Bernays, the the Edward Bernays situation, you know, where you couldn't, you were reaching, but you weren't able to put a tag on the exact individual. Here's a situation I would like to bring up. When you went to Auschwitz, did you see any exhibition of camp script?
No.
Yeah.
No, they didn't show any of that, and that's not brought up, and I didn't ask about that either. But I'm sure what I would have been told was, well, they gave them money to spend, but there was nothing to buy. Just like I forgot to mention that when I was at when I was talking about being in Birkenau, and we were in the barrack that was the sleeping barrack that was in such bad shape, and we were standing around the stove there, that I gave the result, but I didn't say, I left out that she had been telling us that they had these stoves there, but there was never, she said, never any fuel, never any wood or any coal. And so even though they had the stoves, it was just another one of these cruel things, you know, where they could have heat, but they didn't because they never got any.
Well, here's another situation that they never told you. Most of those people, you know, what was the medium of exchange in the camp for the use of the prostitutes and going to the concerts and the use of the pool and everything? The camp script. One of the things that they will not tell you is that they were paid for their labor.
Well, some of them were. They weren't all paid for their
labor. Okay, well, here's the deal. You ready? Don't make excuses for people that you don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you something here, because I've known people that were in the camps. When you went through the gates of the camps, it said, by your labor, you will be free.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they mean by that? Are you ready? It's very simplistic. It's right in your face. If you accumulated enough script, you could buy your way out of the camp. How do you like that one?
Well, I don't know. I've never heard it.
Well,
I've never heard that.
Well,
I've been working
on alternate theories for more than 30 years. And through interaction with the people who are actually in these camps in Brooklyn, believe it or not, with numbers on their arms,
well,
I watched 66,000 go to 6 million. And it wasn't the people who were in the camps that were coming up with these numbers. It was their children, the bean counters, and the people who went to Harvard and NYU. The guilt industry, although it may have been instituted early on, was perpetuated by the more successful offsprings of the people who actually suffered. You might want to interview Norman Finkelstein. You know who he is?
Yes, I do.
Oh, he's a wonderful man. Actually, he's been ostracized by the Jewish community and the academia at Brooklyn College because of his views.
He supports most Holocaust stories.
No,
I shouldn't say most Holocaust stories.
No, he disputes the numbers. I'm not going to say things didn't happen in those camps. That would be totally irresponsible. But I'm going to make one state that possibly I don't like to be that popular anyway. I'd rather be right than popular. But the deal here is very, very simple. Anytime you subjugate people for what they are, okay, you're wrong. That's genocide. Any act of genocide, no matter who it is terrible. It's not an act of genetics because the people that were left behind were left behind as a sacrifice, okay, by the people who were more productive. The smart Jews left Europe on the rumor, okay? The abusive Jews hung around for a while, gathered up the money, and left, okay? And the people that were left behind really didn't have too much of a choice. And if you were to read a book called The Transfer Agreement, you will find out that Adolf Hitler was more responsible for removing the Jews from Germany in a peaceful manner through an agreement, but the United Jewish Congress themselves would not finance their movement. And he said, well, they're not our responsibility. We'll put them to work. And that's how it all started.
Yeah, I agree with that. But we started out. Where did we start out?
I'm all over the place. I'm sorry, dear. You know, that's just the way I think. I've not been institutionalized. You know, I have no degree in anything, and I'm just a free thinker. And, you know, the containment of any type of intellect is to me, as terrible as the loss of innocence.
Well, generally, I agree with what you're saying, but I don't like to make sweeping statements unless I'm sure.
Listen to me. We're living in a broad
sure
brush.
Everybody was
living paid in a broad brush society.
They did.
We're living in a broad brush society. Prove me wrong.
Yeah. Well, prove what you're saying. You see, you can't prove.
Oh wait! I can prove that there's a script. It's on the net.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. But, and if you through your labor, you will be free. What does that mean? If you were to interview people in the camp, if you were to accumulate this amount of money, you could buy your way out. Well, you know what? Here's the deal. But
I don't know about buying your way out. What I understand. Let me just say something.
That would give you this type of testimony.
Michael, let me say that my understanding of through work will make you free is that Auschwitz One, where this gate was a labor camp. And you went in there, and it was also meant to rehabilitate people and send them back into the German society or German-controlled society at that time. And they would be, you know, good enough citizens. They didn't have to be perfect, but, you know, so this was the purpose. And they had to do work, and they had certain length of sentences, these people at this time. They weren't just thrown in there the duration. They were sent there for a certain period of time. They had been sentenced. They had committed crimes of one kind or another. And then so that was the thing, that if they did what they were told to do, they would eventually be released. And they were. Many thousands were released from Auschwitz I. Well, I shouldn't say many thousands, but several thousand. And then the other thing about buying your way, about putting people into these camps just because of who they were. I don't think that was happening. That it's portrayed that way. But the Jews had become as a group proclaimed enemies of the National Socialist regime in Germany. And this started before 1933. It continued. Even the Soviet Jews proclaimed after 1941 that they were the enemies of Germany, and they were on the side of the Soviets, so they were then political liabilities, and so they were political prisoners. Agreed? Oh, he dropped. All right, you were telling me that. Okay, well, maybe. He didn't mean to drop, but he did drop. Okay. Well, that was interesting. See, anybody else wants a call about that, feel free to do so. I'll take your call. Now, I will go back for a moment to what I was talking about. Now, here's our break coming on to us. And I'll remind you that the number is 1-800-313-9443. This is Carolyn Yeager on the Revisionist Report. Be right back.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
The Perkylite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Perkylite, with its exclusive black Perky filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Perkylite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Perkylite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Jaeger, this is the Revisionist Report. I'm talking about eugenics today, but we can also talk about Auschwitz, as that was on the program yesterday and the day before. So if you want to call in about either of these, you're welcome to do so, 1-800-313-9443. I was saying how eugenics has been and is being looks like I have a call from Greg from Dallas, so I'll go ahead and take that first. Hi, Greg.
Oh, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Well, I was calling about yesterday when you were talking about people from Silesia going to Bavaria. You weren't sure that they did?
Yes, I was calling them the Czechs. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm married to a German from Bavaria. And my mother-in-law had a old house, this small town, with a barn. And the city required everybody that had any space, that either apartments that were available or rooms, or any space that could be built out, to do so. And they furnished them some little amount of money to do it. So she built out this barn with an apartment. Now, she had a couple and their daughter who had to leave the Sudetenland of Czechoslovakia, and they moved into that apartment and lived there for some time, and they were like about 5 miles from the Austrian border north of Innsbruck, and an interesting thing that this lady, apparently they were pretty well to do. And they buried their jewelry and such, the things of value on the property, with the dream that they could go back home.
Yes.
They were never able to do. And most of those folks were evicted fairly brutally. There's a lot of terrible stories about those things. So I just thought I'd throw that in.
Well, I appreciate that. There's nothing like real testimonials like this, and we need to collect all of these things. I don't know if anybody has ever written down your family's story there, but it would be interesting. I know that a lot of the Sudeten Germans were well off, or they were what were called prosperous, because they were hardworking. They had been there. The families had been there for many generations. They had, you know, when you're hardworking, you end up accumulating stuff and things. And they owned a lot of property, and they owned a lot of the businesses. And, of course, this is one reason why they were such a tempting target, because, you know, everything they had could be taken over. And this is what goes on in and the communists were behind a lot of this at that time. And so, you know, communist thinking is, well, we deserve what people wealthier than we are have. And so, yeah, a lot of people, they buried things. Most of them, I think, believed that they would be able to come back. They didn't want to leave to begin with. And then when they were forced to leave through terrorism, they hoped that they would come back. And it was a crushing blow to many of these people for the rest of their lives, even though they had saved their lives, that they were not able to return to their homes. And it wasn't just the jewelry or their wealth, but, you know, that was their homeland. And they've never been happy outside of it. What about your mother-in-law? Well, you said she was Bavarian.
Yeah, she is Bavarian.
Yeah.
And she lost.
Yeah.
My wife was born in 1941, and she lost her husband in the war, 1943. So she was a widow lady that had to deal with things, and so she had to suffer through some of those things some radical Nazis did as well. You know, when people have power, they do things that not always nice, even to their own folks. And
what did she say that the Nazis did to her?
Well, it wasn't just, you know, they'd come and take your livestock and this. You know, they'd say, well, you have two pigs, we're going to take one. And
they were trying to feed their armies and stuff.
Well,
I know they
yeah,
did. I know in the East they did appropriate things, and that didn't make them popular. They would appropriate sometimes a horse or a cow, and sometimes they returned it if they just needed to use it like a horse. And it was dangerous for them to do so, but, yeah, they would do that when they needed to.
So, you know, life was rough, but that's understandable. That's how war is. But
yeah.
So I thought I would throw that in.
Well, I thank you. I appreciate that.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
Sure. Bye.
Yeah. All right, that was a good call. We probably don't have much time left in this segment. But I'm going to start out, because what I'm going to talk about next is an article by Edwin Black about eugenics, and to give the dark side as it's presented so often and presented that way everywhere, including here on RBN. And this is from the History News Network on the Internet, HNN. Probably some of you have gone there and read things there. It's not a History News Network that I like. I don't think the history is quite right. It's very biased. But you find things of this type on HNN. And that's why I came here and looked, and there it was. So we'll talk about that, called The Horrifying American Roots of Nazi Eugenics by Edwin Black, when we get back from the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee study found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org. Or call 908-691-2608 today.
This is Carolyn Yeager. I am coming back now with my talk about, or my topic of eugenics. And we can also talk about Auschwitz or some Holocaust issues from our previous programs. Now, what I have here is an article from 2003 by Edwin Black. And Mr. Black is the author of IBM and the Holocaust, which I'm sure some of you are familiar with. And he has, in 2003, this new book by him was just released, which is being reviewed here by himself, War Against the Weak, Eugenics and America's Campaign to Create a Master Race. And the actually says this is an article by him taken from his book, War Against the Weak. Now, looks like I might have another, his first sentence is, this is so typical, Hitler and his henchmen victimized an entire continent and exterminated millions in his quest for a so-called master race. Now, this is totally false. And why? You know, here's this usage of words, Hitler and his henchmen. Oh, they love to use that word henchmen. Hitler was, all the people surrounding Hitler were henchmen. And, of course, they victimized the entire continent of Europe. Oh, I'm going to have to ignore that phone call. Darn it. They exterminated millions. No, that's false. There, I think this. I think I fixed it. They weren't trying to create a master race. This whole master race business is just a big, I don't know what, and now, not only that, now he goes on. But the concept of a white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, master Nordic race didn't originate with Hitler. Okay, well, Hitler didn't even have a concept of a white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, master Nordic race. This idea of blonde-haired, blue-eyed is really, really something, because the majority of Germans were not blonde-haired or blue-eyed. The majority of Slavs are. So there's something strange here about, hey, you know, slapping this blonde-haired, blue-eyed thing on Hitler, although the upper Nordic peoples are very blonde-haired and blue-eyed. But, you know, Hitler's idea was to unify and bring together all Germans. And they were blonde, they were dark-haired, they were blue-eyed, they were brown-eyed. You know, they were a mixture of all this. And so this is one myth that keeps being perpetuated because these words continue to be used. Master race of blonde-haired, blue-eyed Nordics. Now, he goes on to say that eugenics was the racist pseudoscience determined to wipe away all human beings deemed unfit, preserving only those who conform to a Nordic stereotype. Now, once again, you know, this is not what eugenics is, and this is being pushed as something racist in order to discredit eugenics, in order to use it as a political club for the left wing, which wants to make, ever since 1945, it's been clearly promoted, which is really a communist concept, stop thinking in terms of race at all and think, don't even think in terms of ethnicity. It's been anti-nationalist and pro-globalist. We're going to have the United Nations. We're going to create a world that all gets along. We're going to pass laws, and we're all going to follow these laws, and everybody's going to be treated equally and right and properly, and none of these terrible things are going to happen, which come from these racists and these nationalists. So this is what's going on here, the idea of eugenics is to bring out the best of all peoples, to encourage the birth of children who are going to be healthy and you know, reasonably intelligent, or at least not terribly unintelligent, and that can carry the world into better and better ways, the whole world, and that includes everyone. It's not racist. But it's not trying to create just a certain type of people. Now, I'm not saying that there are not amongst these globalists now who came in control after World War II, and these anti-nationalists, that there isn't an idea that they would like to perpetuate, that they're looking out for their own interests and seeing the rest of us as kind of, we're going to be the worker class. But also, they want to do away with whites. They want to do away with whites and with intelligent people, because they're the ones who will stand up and are now standing up against them. So, you know, they want a lot of very super intelligent people among themselves, among their own class. They'll be loyal to them, but they don't want them amongst others. So that's very much the same as the communists, who are always liquidating the intellectual class, right? Every society that they took over, they would liquidate the intellectuals and the academics and the college graduates and so on, and they would tell the working people that they were on their side, and that they should have all these class hatreds, and they should take over what wealthier people owned, but they were not capable of managing it like the others were, and they weren't up to that. They weren't capable of thinking as well, and so they fell for a lot of this stuff. And because they weren't educated, and it doesn't mean that you have to be educated to be smart. But you know, on the whole, you have the exceptions which prove the rule. There are always exceptions. There are always exceptional people everywhere who don't fit the general mold. So then we say, well, you see, that general mold idea is wrong. Well, it doesn't make the idea wrong. It's just that the exceptions are always going to be there, and the exception proves the rule of the general rule. So, you know, a lot of this is just really turned around. It's turned around into the opposite of what it was, and people are being messed around with by those who are promoting this garbage in this way. And Edwin Black is one. I think I told you, didn't I? He's Jewish. His interest, now let's go into this. The interest of the Jews, and here I'm making a sweeping statement, but, you know, there's going to be exceptions from these Jews, but by and large, most Jews follow along with what's being done in their name by their leaders. And these leading Jews, they are the ones who want to take over the world. I hate that phrase, take over the world, but they're the ones who want to get in control. And those who are in their way most are the northern white races that have a history of freedom. They're intelligent, they're capable, they're able to organize themselves. And so this is what they go after. And one good way is to attack any idea of that we should be thinking about bringing into the world the best of our people, you know, the best people we can to carry on the white race and the white civilization. But instead, now we got to talk about dysgenics. You see, there's eugenics is to promote a better people, you know, to see that through our offspring we keep getting better, or we are the best, you know, we try to bring out the best of what we are. And then there is dysgenics, which is that you're going to go down, which we talked about in saying that we're becoming less intelligent, or we're being dumbed down, or we're being mixed with other races that are not as intelligent as our race, and therefore our intelligence level is going down. Now, this is dysgenics, or if we have a lot of people having a lot of children who are who have serious physical problems or are very unintelligent. Now, when we talk about eugenics, and if we talk about the negative side of eugenics, you know, stopping the birth of stopping births that are going to be detrimental to the group. When we're talking about people in the retarded range, we're talking about people, you know, with an IQs below 80. Who cannot, and sometimes below 70 and goes on down, who cannot function on their own as adults and need care for their entire lives. We're not talking about killing anybody either. We're simply talking about saying these people should not be propagating more of themselves, you know, because intelligence is hereditary. It's hereditary. Again, we have the exceptions. Sometimes, you know, somebody will always bring up to you, well, but, you know, Beethoven was the 13th child or something. I forget how that goes, but of very common parents. There was nobody special in his family, and look, he turned out to be a genius. Okay, he's an exception. There are exceptions, but that doesn't mean that this is going to typically happen. It doesn't. And typically, you know, the children are pretty much like the parents, and some people simply are at such a low level that they should not be getting married and having children, or they should not be having children accidentally, even if maybe they never get married and they're being cared for, but they can still get pregnant. And then you have more. And what happened in Germany is that so that's an argument for limited sterilization, which is what was taking place in Germany. And if you look at Germany after World War One, and what was being pushed in Germany between the wars and the decadence and the lack of proper standards and so on, and the taking advantage of by the Jews from the Eastern Europe and so on, what was happening was that the German population was really going downhill. They had a large number of what they called idiots and people who couldn't function. And these people were a real drain on the entire society. And this was something that Hitler wanted to take in in his party. His party had a program to do something about this. And what they did was really quite mild. It was no different at all, and probably less than what was happening in the United States, which Black does talk about in this article and in his book, which is mostly about what went on eugenics in the United States. And now the eugenics movement in the United States, I don't think, had bad intentions for most of the people. They try to make out like now, like, oh, all these eugenicists, they were secretly, you know, trying to control everything and create a certain, you know, get rid of a lot of people and kill out bloodlines and, you know, family lines and so on. Well, if you have a family line that has been producing idiots and retarded people and criminals and so on for several generations, I think that family line ought to be put out of business, you know, because often these people are highly, highly productive. They have lots of children, and they're all, there is a famous family that I didn't look up, but I know that was famous for, documented that throughout generations they had produced nothing but criminals and problem people, and horrible, you know. I mean, it was just a mess. Their genetics were a mess. And so then, you know, we can look at, I'm not really talking about Edwin Black's story very much, article here very much. I would like to say more about what he says. But I'm kind of summing up the whole situation. So if you talk about, and people hate this too, you know, but if you talk about breeding, you know, we have plant breeding. We breed plants, we breed animals. You know, we do a lot of things. Now, I don't think we should ever, of course, I don't really like a lot of animal breeding. I think they're trying to create a lot of hybrids of this type or another. I don't like it. All we're really talking about here in human eugenics is to say, you know, let's encourage the birth and the increase of our best examples of humanity, and let's try to decrease the propagation of our worst examples. This makes a lot of sense to me. This doesn't mean that anybody is you know, I wouldn't call it genocide in any way. I would call it, because nobody's being genocided. I would just simply, it's like weeding your garden. I mean, you know, things have to be done. But it's not weeding in that sense, because you're not getting rid of anybody. You're just stopping the propagation of certain people. Now, I would like to hear from anyone out there who thinks that anything that I've said is shocking or is wrong or where I'm really off base. I would like to hear people who can, in an intelligent way, what am I trying to think of? Defend the idea that eugenics is an evil thing, because it's inherently racist, and it's inherently going to bring about something bad. Anything can be misused, but there is no reason to think that if you are able to talk about eugenics and the kind of people that we would like to have in the world, that will benefit the whole world, and the kind of people that we don't want to have, because they end up in prisons, of which we have bulging prisons already. How to decrease that? I don't see anything wrong with this, and I would like to hear from people who would argue against it. I haven't heard from anyone yet. Now, this idea that they use, that Hitler and the Nazis were an example of the evil of this, and that they were all carried away in it, I have to tell you that they weren't. Now, the policy that they had of sterilization ended up sterilizing, you know, a little over 1,000 people, or several thousand people, I think. I have to look up that figure. But it says here that in Black's book that eugenics practitioners in the United States, or in California, in California only, which was the leading state eugenics in the United States, coercively, they say, sterilized some 60,000 of their population. In the state of California, that is not a huge number, and you have to think about who were these people and that they were only sterilized. They were barred from marriage, some of them. And but should they have had children? Yeah.
You know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372, or visit terravim.com.
Gentlemen, once again, I got start listening. I'm listening to the music and thinking it's going to end on its own. I'm daydreaming a little bit here, but I have a caller. This is Carolyn Yeager, and I have a call from Frank in North Carolina. Hi, Frank.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm kind of at a point in my life right now where I'm questioning everything because over the past 5-6 years, I've come to the realization that I've been lied to about just about everything in my life since I was very young, and that this was all done on purpose. I had a question about fluoride. Now, I'm always hearing on the RBN network and, you know, from hosts on RBN and also Genesis, you know, over the years since I woke up to 9/11 and different things like that, that they put fluoride in the water supply, you know, for the drinking water to make the population docile so that we will not resist their agenda. And they always say, well, you know, the Nazis were the first ones to do that. I was wondering if you could tell me anything about that.
Yes, I can. Thanks for bringing that up. The Nazis did not put fluoride in the water. They did not. They didn't do anything with fluoride. I've never seen anything about that. And, you know, the National Socialists, the Nazis in Germany were actually, and Hitler too, were actually very concerned with the well-being of the German people. And they were the ones who started first passed laws for the protection of the environment, the protection of animals, and the health of the people. And they were all very good and positive things. And they another false claim that's made often, and also by people on RBN, is that the Nazis instituted gun control, and they did not. They did not. The Germans were able to have guns. I think there was some kind of a something. I can't remember all these things unless I have to look it up right at the moment. But there was some kind of a law they had, but it didn't really restrict people from carrying guns. And now back to fluoride, though. No, there is. They did not do that. You know, there are incredible lies told about the Nazis, and they get away with it because Nazis are just a target that is like what you call, you know, an open target.
Well, I also noticed, though, that sometimes certain hosts probably are going along with the official narrative that they know that the typical general audience will buy into, because that's what they already think that they know. So it's popular and it's easy to use, even if the host might not necessarily believe it or would be willing to bet their life that that was the fact.
Frank, I just read yesterday an email that was passed around that Frederick Tobin had made open to everyone that he had replied to Gordon Duff of Veterans Today. And Gordon Duff had made a statement. Someone had sent him a YouTube of a show or something that Gordon Duff was on, and he said something about, something's going on in Ohio, and they're acting just like the Nazis in Germany, or they're, you know, becoming like the Nazis in Germany, something that was negative. When Tobin commented to him about this, and he shouldn't talk about that, or somebody else did, his answer was, well, you have to talk to people in the language they understand. So it's like whether he believes it or not, he's not going to say, but he's going to use it. And that's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, Alex Jones is the one that stands out. He does that all the time. He says things
Yes. Well, we have to go. I'm sorry. Thanks for the call, Frank. Talk to you everybody tomorrow.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, and the government is out to make